This is the reading for June 8th, Job chapter 9. Then Job answered, "Yes, I know that this is true, but how can anyone be right in the presence of God? Someone might want to argue with God, but no one could answer God, not one time out of a thousand. God's wisdom is deep and His power is great. No one can fight Him without getting hurt. God moves mountains without anyone knowing it and turns them over when He's angry. He shakes the earth out of its place and makes its foundations tremble. He commands the sun not to shine and shuts off the light of the stars. He alone stretches out the skies and walks on the waves of the sea. It is God who made the Bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the groups of stars in the southern sky. He does wonders that cannot be understood. He does so many miracles they cannot be counted. When He passes me, I cannot see Him. When He goes by me, I do not recognize Him. If He snatches something away, no one can stop Him or say to Him, 'What are you doing?' God will not hold back His anger. Even the helpers of the monster Rahab lie at His feet in fear. So how can I argue with God or even find words to argue with Him? Even if I were right, I could not answer Him. I could only beg God, my judge, for mercy. If I called to Him and He answered, I still don't believe He would listen to me. He would crush me with a storm and multiply my wounds for no reason. He would not let me catch my breath, but would overwhelm me with misery. When it comes to strength, God is stronger than I. When it comes to justice, no one can accuse Him. Even if I were right, my own mouth would say I was wrong. If I were innocent, my mouth would say I was guilty. I am innocent, but I don't care about myself. I hate my own life. It is all the same. That is why I say God destroys both the innocent and the guilty. If the whip brings sudden death, God will laugh at the suffering of the innocent. When the land falls into the hands of evil people, He covers the judges' faces so they can't see it. If it is not God who does this, then who is it? My days go by faster than a runner. They fly away without my seeing any joy. They glide past like paper boats. They attack like eagles swooping down to feed. Even though I say I will forget my complaint, I will change the look on my face and smile, I still dread all my suffering. I know You will hold me guilty. I have already been found guilty, so why should I struggle for no reason? I might wash myself with soap and scrub my hands with strong soap, but You would push me into a dirty pit, and even my clothes would hate me. God is not a man like me, so I cannot answer Him. We cannot meet each other in court. I wish there were someone to make peace between us, someone to decide our case. Maybe He could remove God's punishment so His terror would no longer frighten me. Then I could speak without being afraid. But I am not able to do that." 2 Kings chapter 1. After Ahab died, Moab broke away from Israel's rule. Ahaziah fell down through the wooden bars in his upstairs room in Samaria and was badly hurt. He sent messengers and told them, "Go ask Baal-zebub, god of Ekron, if I will recover from my injuries." But the Lord's angel said to Elisha the Tishbite, "Go up and meet the messenger sent by the king of Samaria. Ask them, 'Why are you going to ask questions of Baal-zebub, god of Ekron? Is it because you think there is no God in Israel? This is what the Lord says, you will never get up from the bed you are lying on. You will die.'" Then Elijah left. When the messengers returned to Ahaziah, he asked them, "Why have you returned?" They said, "A man came to meet us. He said, 'Go back to the king who sent you and tell him what the Lord says. Why do you send messengers to ask questions of Beelzebub, god of Ekron? Is it because you think there's no God in Israel? You will never get up from the bed you are lying on. You will die.'" Ahaziah asked them, "What did the man look like who met you and told you this?" They answered, "He was a hairy man and wore a leather belt around his waist." Ahaziah said, "It was Elijah the Tishbite." Then he sent a captain with his 50 men to Elijah. The captain went to Elijah, who was sitting on top of the hill, and said to him, "Man of God, the king says, 'Come down.'" Elijah answered the captain, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and burn you up and your 50 men." Then fire came down from heaven and burned up the captain and his 50 men. Ahaziah sent another captain and 50 men to Elijah. The captain said to him, "Man of God, this is what the king says, come down quickly." Elijah answered, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and burn up you and your 50 men." Then fire came down from heaven and burned up the captain and his 50 men. Ahaziah then sent a third captain with his 50 men. The third captain came and fell down on his knees before Elijah and begged, "Man of God, please respect my life and the lives of your 50 servants. See, fire came down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50 with all their men. But now respect my life." The Lord's angel said to Elijah, "Go down with him and don't be afraid of him." So Elijah got up and went down with him to see the king. Elijah told Ahaziah, "This is what the Lord says. You have sent messengers to ask questions of Baalzebub, god of Ekron. Is it because you think there is no God in Israel to ask? Because of this, you will never get up from your bed. You will die." So Ahaziah died just as the Lord, through Elijah, had said he would. Joram became king in Ahaziah's place during the second year Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, was king of Judah. Joram ruled because Ahaziah had no son to take his place. The other things Ahaziah did are written in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 2. It was almost time for the Lord to take Elijah by a whirlwind up into heaven. While Elijah and Elisha were leaving Gilgal, Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here. The Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you live, I won't leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The groups of prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know the Lord will take your master away from you today?" Elisha said, "Yes, I know, but don't talk about it." Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha, because the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you live, I won't leave you." So they went to Jericho. The groups of prophets at Jericho came to Elisha and said, "Do you know that the Lord will take your master from you today?" Elisha answered, "Yes, I know, but don't talk about it." Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan River." Elisha answered, "As the Lord lives and as you live, I won't leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the groups of prophets came and stood far from where Elijah and Elisha were by the Jordan. Elijah took off his coat, rolled it up, and hit the water. The water divided to the right and to the left, and Elijah and Elisha crossed over on dry ground. After they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I am taken from you?" Elisha said, "Leave me a double share of your spirit." Elijah said, "You have asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. If you don't, it won't happen." As they were walking and talking, a chariot and horses of fire appeared and separated Elijah from Elisha. Then Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw it and shouted, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen," and Elisha did not see him anymore. Then Elisha grabbed his own clothes and tore them to show how sad he was. He picked up Elijah's coat that had fallen from him. Then he returned and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Elisha hit the water with Elijah's coat and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he hit the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and Elisha crossed over. The groups of prophets at Jericho were watching and said, "Elisha now has the spirit Elijah had." And they came to meet him, bowing down to the ground before him. They said to him, "There are 50 strong men with us. Please let them go and look for your master. Maybe the Spirit of the Lord has taken Elijah up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley." But Elisha answered, "No, don't send them." When the groups of prophets had begged Elisha until he couldn't refuse them anymore, he said, "Send them." So they sent 50 men who looked for 3 days, but they could not find him. Then they came back to Elisha at Jericho where he was staying. He said to them, "I told you not to go, didn't I?" The people of the city said to Elisha, "Look, master, the city is a nice place to live, as you can see, but the water is so bad the land cannot grow crops." Elisha said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt in it. He said, "This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. From now on, it won't cause death and it won't keep the land from growing crops." So the water has been healed to this day, just as Elisha had said. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. On the way, some boys came up out of the city and made fun of him. They said to him, "Go up too, you bald head. Go up too, you bald head." Elisha turned around, looked at them, and put a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two mother bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys to pieces. Elisha went to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria.
Chapter 18. After Jesus finished his prayer, he went with his disciples to the other side of the Kidron Valley. They entered the garden that was there. Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus and his disciples often gathered there. So Judas took a troop of soldiers and the guards from the chief priests and Pharisees and went to the garden. They were carrying lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him, so he went to meet them and asked, "Who are you looking for?" They answered him, "Jesus from Nazareth." Jesus told them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with the crowd. When Jesus told them, "I am he," the crowd backed away and fell to the ground. Jesus asked them again, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus from Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I told you that I am he, so if you are looking for me, let these other men go." In this way, what Jesus had said came true. "I lost none of those you gave me." Simon Peter had a sword. He drew it, attacked the chief priest's servant, and cut off the servant's right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus told Peter, "Put your sword away. Shouldn't I drink the cup of suffering that my Father has given me?" Then the army officer and the Jewish guards arrested Jesus. They tied Jesus up and took him first to Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Caiaphas, the chief priest that year, was the person who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one man die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. The other disciple was well known to the chief priest, so that disciple went with Jesus into the chief priest's courtyard. Peter, however, was standing outside the gate. The other disciple talked to the woman who was the gatekeeper and brought Peter into the courtyard. The gatekeeper asked Peter, "Aren't you one of this man's disciples too?" Peter answered, "No, I'm not." The servants and the guards were standing around a fire they had built and were warming themselves because it was cold. Peter was standing there too and warming himself with the others. The chief priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teachings. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken publicly for everyone to hear. I have always taught in synagogues or in the temple courtyard where all the Jews gather. I haven't said anything in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who heard what I said to them. They know what I've said." When Jesus said this, one of the guards standing near Jesus slapped his face and said, "Is that how you answer the chief priest?" Jesus replied to him, "If I've said anything wrong, tell me what it was. But if I've told the truth, why do you hit me?" Annas sent Jesus to Caiaphas, the chief priest. Jesus was still tied up. Simon Peter continued to stand and warm himself by the fire. Some men asked him, "Aren't you too one of his disciples?" Peter denied it by saying, "No, I'm not." One of the chief priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked him, "Didn't I see you with Jesus in the garden?" Peter again denied it, and just then a rooster crowed. Early in the morning, Jesus was taken from Caiaphas's house to the governor's palace. The Jews wouldn't go into the palace. They didn't want to become unclean since they wanted to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What accusation are you making against this man?" The Jews answered Pilate, "If he weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have handed him over to you." Pilate told the Jews, "Take him and try him by your law." The Jews answered him, "We're not allowed to execute anyone." In this way, what Jesus had predicted about how he would die came true. Pilate went back into the palace, called for Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "Did you think of that yourself, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom doesn't belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. My kingdom doesn't have its origin on earth." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus replied, "You're correct in saying that I'm a king. I have been born and have come into the world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After Pilate said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I don't find this man guilty of anything. You have a custom that I should free one person for you at Passover. Would you like me to free the king of the Jews for you?" The Jews shouted again, "Don't free this man. Free Barabbas." Barabbas was a political revolutionary.